actually on a cruise ship, but they don't know that because our ports of calls are always fishing ports. Seriously, it's Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, and what am I missing? Cabo. So everybody thinks I'm fishing. So, oh, I catch a big fish. Well, you know what? I ate a bunch of fish. It was just already cooked. So, but what's so funny, before I left, the Holy Spirit, look, the Holy Spirit resides in you, okay? And I want you to understand that, because when I say the Lord spoke or whatever, it's really the Holy Spirit who resides in me. But anyway, it was just interesting. It's as I was leaving for my trip, which in all honesty, it's just me and Gary, and all we do is sleep, to be honest with you. We just really get rest. And every time I come back, everybody's like, man, you look rested. Well, it's because I am. But it just, this little thing in my heart was like, pay attention to your yeast. I'm like, what? Whatever. Leave me alone. I got to go fishing. Act like I'm fishing. Anyway, I'll get there in a minute. Let's start where we always start. I'm going to show you. We've been talking about justification, sanctification, glorification. I've honed it down to the three. Justification is me in Christ. What Christ did for me is totally perfect, and I can't add anything to it. Sanctification is that part of Christ in me where I work out the goodness that He is out of me. And then, of course, glorification is me in heaven, so we don't care about that. We'll get there. You know, we'll be glorified, and that'll be cool. But so this total package for Christian life, I actually like, it's justification, sanctification, glorification, but above it, I probably should have put Jesus saving grace. Because I should have put that above that, and I'll do that next time. So here's what I want you to see. The total package is Jesus saving grace. There's no pick and choose in all of this. It's not enough just to believe that He died for us and He did all those incredible things for us, because it's true, He did. But after that, He rose again so that He could change us and really change us. There's a real faction in our country right now where everybody's wearing their badge of Christianity. You know, it's like standing in a garage and tooting your horn and calling yourself a car. Listen to me, Christianity is dynamic. Christianity is all about other people. Christianity is just crazy exciting, and that's where this whole thing has been pushing me lately, to recognize we will never, until we pay attention to our yeast, we will never be out the salt that I wrote the book about. I should probably write a book again. So let's look at the scripture, because I love scripture. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. God's truth is firm, like, in other words, like He just etched it in stone right here. The Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Now, we must turn away before we can turn to. And what I mean by that is, we must turn away from that goofy, horrible nature that we have before we can turn to the goodness of who He is. I love what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. This whole chapter, by the way, this chapter is all about the fruits of the Spirit. I didn't even put the fruits of the Spirit in this time because I want you to get the gist. I want it in context. I always read the word in context. So this is where Paul kind of started out, at least in the middle. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Please get a hold of that, because a lot of people will try to teach you that once you come to know Jesus, you're not going to want to do it. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. And it's going to be, you're going to really want to do it. And because you're going to notice that you really want to do it, because before you had Jesus, you didn't really care. Well, now that Jesus is in your heart, it's intensified. I really want to do this, but I thought Jesus did everything He's going to do on the cross. But then there's this wonderful thing that happens. So the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. There's the battle. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to our sinful nature. Our sinful nature does not want to love other people. Our sinful nature does not want to be happy and not angry. Our sinful nature wants you to hurt, Ben, and not be whole. That's our sinful nature. And it's opposite of what the Spirit wants. So these two forces are constantly fighting each other, watch, so that you're not free to carry out your sanctification. You're not free to carry out the good intentions that the Holy Spirit has for you. So, and by the way, then from there he continues in and he names all the sins, and then he talks about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit produces the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things that are seem so difficult. They're not difficult if we walk in him. Now, so put up this next thing. I just wrote this. What motivation do we have to turn away from what we enjoy, from what makes us temporarily feel better, comforts our flesh, drowns out our problems, and satisfies our sinful nature? What motivation do we have? For years I was taught my motivation was to somehow beat me up. What is my motivation? Most motivations aren't strong enough to keep us, right? Here's what happens. The desire to please people, the fear of getting caught, the fear of consequences, or even the fear of hell aren't strong enough to stop me from sinning. No motivation is strong enough to turn someone away from what their heart loves. Ooh, Steve, give me some hope here. Well, I'm going to, because there is hope. Because I'm there, man. But there's one thing strong enough to break the power of sin that will turn us away from it so that we can turn into doing what God has called us to do, sanctification, the change of our heart and our life. There's one thing. Apostle Paul had it, man. He had it. I love him. Here it is. Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. By the way, just stop here. Corinthians were full of sin. He took a whole chapter almost to tell them about, you know what, you got a guy that's sleeping with his stepmom, and you're proud of it. I mean, he was straight up about it. So anyway, so he says, so watch, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival. He's talking about the festival of the breads. Not with the old leaven, with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Leave that scripture up. So we're going to go back to those words because you need to hear this. So not with the old bread of desire to injure or not afraid to break any laws, or the old bread that's malice, or the old bread of wickedness, which is sin, evil purposes, evil desires, and those evil desires and evil purposes go far beyond the big ones that we always want to speak about. They go into that mode of the people we just don't really like. Pay attention to your yeast. Sometimes when he spoke that to me, and I get on this cruise ship, and it's a cruise ship, right? Well, I'm for whatever reason, I'm handpicked to run into people who are not very kind. And there was this old man on this ship, and I think he was by himself, and he was not very kind to anybody around him. And so I'm like, God, dude, you're on a cruise ship. Why can't you just quit griping? Pay attention to your yeast, Steve. So what did stupid Steve do? He sat down to the old man and just started being happy. Talking to him, paying attention to the old yeast. Once I paid attention to the old yeast and it began to move out, then salt could come in. One of the greatest things about salt, as you know, it just makes people thirsty. You don't even have to say the word Jesus, it makes people thirsty. Well, come to find out, this old man, wife had just died 6 months earlier. Okay, yeah, this old mean man. Yeah, he was hurting. Isn't it funny when people lash their hurting? They really are. Pay attention to your yeast. Instead of getting mad at people who get mad, instead of being prejudiced against people who are prejudiced, instead of being racist against racist people, instead of being hypocritical against hypocrites, hear me. Maybe we need to pay attention to our yeast so that we can get the yeast out so that salt can come in turn. Did he become my best friend? No. But he sure was scratching his head afterwards because I was kind when he wasn't. I had another, there was another kid on there that, how do you say this correctly? He was born in what is an autism type thing, but anyway, just a little different. And people get uncomfortable around that, right? You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know how to handle this. Because he was one of those where, like, if he talks to you, he's right here. You know, we've got our space. Give me my space. You know, you can talk to me, but don't come in, you know. So I'm laughing by this time because that whole pay attention to your yeast. Because everything in Steve Van Zandt was like, huh, okay, where are your parents? You know, they need to be hanging near you, you know. I just carried on a conversation with him. If we want to call it a conversation, it was a little bizarre. It's not the point. The point is, when I paid attention to my yeast and got it out of the way, then the salt could come, and this kid followed me around the whole cruise. Why? Because I paid attention to him, was kind to him. Do you understand that that's what the kingdom's about? It's not about the great and grand. It's about paying attention to the things that set you off, and instead of letting them continue to set you off, you set those aside so that things can happen. So, oh, by the way, the word sincerity literally means cleanness, genuineness, realness, trustworthiness. So he's saying, set aside your ugly self and do this. And then the truth, the word truth, that word is aletheia. It's really a cool word. It means the truth respecting God and the execution of his purposes through Christ. So the truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So the truth is, what Christ has accomplished on the cross, which where your Passover lamb is. So, okay, it's clear then. Let's get rid of the yeast. But what's going to motivate me to get rid of the yeast? And the truth is, Paul said it, the Passover lamb. See, other religions teach us morality and clean living and obeying laws to gain God's favor. Only Christianity sets up the gospel as the motivation to do so. Okay? So Paul's referring to the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So I just want to look at that in the Old Testament so you understand the Passover. This is out of Exodus. Most of you should know this story, but we'll go over it. And so in Exodus, God tells the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, see, now understand, let's do the preface there. They're stuck in Egypt. They wanted out of Egypt. God had done all the plagues in Egypt. Finally, God had got to the point of where he's going to do the last one that got him out of Egypt. Got it? So that's what was happening here. He says, you tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the top. I've always showed you that. Top and the sides, it's the sign of the cross. Top and the sides of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you and not kill you. That's what that's saying. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day that you are to commemorate. You're going to remember this for generations to come. You're going to celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, as a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you're to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. And on the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day, and don't work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat, and that is all you may do. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt, and celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for generations to come. In those generations to come, Jesus became the incredible Passover lamb out of that. So, those that were under the blood of the lamb lived and then were brought out of slavery. Watch. The night they left slavery, they were to eat unleavened bread. Being redeemed from slavery, they were to get rid of the yeast of anything that had to do with Egypt. Anything that had to do with Egypt is basically anything that has to do with the world, as we love to just throw the world up there. But the truth is, the evil and ugliness of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, do I need to tell you how ugly it is right now? In our country, let's just talk about our country. We don't have to go over to Venezuela and all these other crazy places that there is craziness. I'm talking about in our country. So here we are. So to redeem from slavery, they were to get rid of anything that had to do with Egypt. So Jesus is our Passover lamb, and God's judgment has passed over us. Do you get it? When Christ died on the cross, and he did what he did on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, we have now been passed over. There, no longer are we convicted of anything. We've been passed over because of the Passover lamb. So now that it's passed over, we're to remove malice and evil. That's what Paul was talking about. Now that justification has occurred, the fact that Christ died on the cross and took our sins, our ugliness upon him, and he was the perfect one, and he took the imperfect one's imperfection so that the imperfect one can look perfect, even though we're not, and we're declared righteous. That is powerful. That is justification, but that's not the whole picture. So I want you to notice that death, the death of the lamb came first, and then the command to get rid of the yeast. God didn't say, get rid of the yeast, and then I'll save you from death. We have twisted it forever in church. You stop doing A, B, C, and D, and he will somehow... No. It's completely done. Now, there is a responsibility, as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, so I see, y'all get what I have. If I have to eat it, y'all got to eat it too. Pay attention to your yeast. And when I say that, say it out loud, man, because it works even when you're driving. I go on calls in the city because I'm the fire chaplain, and I every single time I'll get behind a driver and I am in a hurry. I could run code. They would do my truck up, but I don't want to do it. But So I'm driving and I get out, and maybe I pull up too close behind them or something. Well, they're going to teach me a lesson. So they slow down. I'm trying to get somewhere that's very important in my opinion when I got people who have died or something and they're asking me, they're called me and want me to be here. And you're slowing down to make a point? Steve, watch your yeast. Back off. They'll actually go the speed limit again. Back off. Yeah, Lord, let them turn right. Yes. Listen. It's just true, man. So, their lives prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, their lives were saved by grace through the death of the lamb and the shedding of the blood, and then they were to rid their homes of the yeast. Okay? So, I want to show you this next scripture. This one's about sexual immorality, so everybody duck your head. Well, the reason I say that is because this is one we've always nailed for years and years and years, and I'm not trying to downplay it. This is obviously bad. In fact, this even explains why. So Paul writes to the Corinthians again. What do you figure? You think maybe it's because this guy's sleeping with his stepmom? He might be writing this, huh? So flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits is outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. And don't you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. Here's what's important. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So earlier Paul says, get rid of the old yeast. The Passover lamb has been slain. Here he says, flee sexual immorality. You were bought with a price. When you recognize you were bought with a price, You're gonna flee from it. You're gonna pay attention to the yeast. I'm gonna get to a practical side here in a second. In fact, I'm almost there. So what am I saying? I'm saying the cross is our motivation for sanctification. So how does this work? I wrote this strictly down. How does this work in a practical sense? You're in a powerful temptation again. You're mesmerized by the beauty of it. No motivation to turn you away from it. Even the thought of it consumes you with desire. And now I'm just going to give you the desire that I'm talking about that Paul actually wrote in Galatians chapter 5 that I didn't bother to have to read to you again. So again, you're in a powerful temptation, mesmerized by the beauty of it, no motivation to turn away, even though you're consumed with the desire of it, whether that's sex or anger. There is something about anger that makes us feel better. There's something about anger that makes me okay with me.
Well, you know the Bible says you get angry but don't sin.
Whatever.
Don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah, it does say that. It does say that. It sure does, sure. So just be as mad as you want all day till the sun goes down. That's a great life to live right there. I'm telling you something. Hear my heart in this. I'm wanting us to grow up into an understanding of what's happening here. Because God has a monster plan that is in place. And it's not just locally. I believe it's nationally. And I also believe it's going to be globally. And that plan has everything to do with who He is and His goodness and the ability of us to love in areas where we've never loved. And the only way you're going to love in areas where you've never loved is to pay attention to your yeast. So no motivation to turn away. So every thought's consumed with sex or anger or revenge. Holy smoke, man. Let's stay there for a second. See, you want me to stay on the sex bar because maybe none of you are worried about that. You know, it's so weird how forever we've stacked sin in all these levels, you know. And when I was younger, you know, the homosexual is the worst of all sin. And the only reason they say that is because they don't struggle with it. But you don't want to talk about overeating because we're all fat and it's obvious. You get it. Quit it. Stop it. This whole thing about check your yeast goes far deeper into the areas of our real life, not just the big 10 that we have chosen. So revenge, I cannot tell you people who just are ready to get revenge because they were, listen, I understand. I have been done wrong. I have been done wrong, but for some strange reason, I kind of figured it out early in life, and God had me praying for people who did me wrong. And just so you know, I was straight up with God about it. I didn't pull any punches with Him. You want me to pray for Him? I'll pray for that. Boy, and I'd throw words out that you wouldn't want to hear. I can't believe you talked to God like that. Like He didn't know what's in my heart? Give me a break, man. And then all of a sudden, compassion would happen. Compassion being the man on the cruise that was such a jerk that wouldn't get out. Oh man, his wife died, and I wonder if that might have had something. You get it. Check your yeast. Don't check another man's yeast. Check your yeast. So revenge, money. Money, 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 money. Money. Let's be honest, man. Ecclesiastes, what does he say? He says money is everything. He says that in Ecclesiastes. Solomon, who had all the money in the world. Money. Check your yeast. What are you doing possibly underhanded to get more money? Check your yeast. I'm hitting on just like regular stuff. I apologize. I should stay away from the regular stuff. Hatred. And these are all, again, I'm going through the list in Galatians that Paul talked about. Hatred. Do you hate Him? Come on. Again, I've justified hatred so many times. I've hated people who hate people. Do you get this, right? in our country right now, it's really a political thing. You know, Republican, Democrat, or Demorats, or Republitards, or what? You know what I'm saying? And the whole time, I'm having to check my yeast for both sides. Republican, Democrat, pro-abortion, anti-abortion, you pick your poison. Because it is poison. It really is. And that poison will get inside of you. And that's when you become bitter. And bitterness is like swallowing that poison and waiting for somebody else to die. Because it ain't going to happen. So, hatred, jealousy. I know this. I was a king of this when I was younger, man. I wanted to be somebody else. How come he, God, I'm so faithful to you. He's a jerk. He's stealing money. His church is growing. Mine's falling apart. Like he's going to manipulate a man or a woman to do something. Jealousy is division. Division is one of the greatest things that destroys the kingdom. And you know why I can say that? And I can stand on it because Jesus said it. They're going to know that you love me by seeing how much you love each other. And he was talking about Christian brothers. Isn't it sad, David, that I can love some drunk off the street more than I can love you? You get what I'm saying? Well, I don't mean you, but, you know, because I actually love you. No, but listen, this is huge. Division. And again, these are the ones I'm just showing you that are out there. Division. I think I said a couple weeks ago. God is in the process right now of multiplication, not division, not even addition, and not subtraction. He's in the process of doing multiplying things. But we've got to do like they did and get away from the east. So, let me finish this up. Drunkenness. Yeah, see, now I have people ducking their heads. Dude, again, it's in the Word. I'm not hammering drink. I'm hammering drunkenness. I have dealt with this a lot in the areas of my life that I deal with. And there's this thought, some people's thoughts are, you're not an alcoholic if it's beer. I can even go beyond that. I had a friend that was so bad, he was hiding Listerine and drinking it. And his wife was finding empty bottles of Listerine. And she just thought, man, his breath always smells good. I don't know, you know. And of course, I'm not going to be the bearer of the bad news. You get what I'm saying? Envy. Envy's kind of like jealousy. Except envy wants what somebody else has and can justify in their mind. But here's one that will sneak into all of us and you got to be really careful about. And this is the last one that I'll mention out of these sins so that we can get to the point. Prideful, selfish ambition. This one will sneak in on us all in the name of Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have this selfish ambition, and it's so easy to slip into what we do as a church. Well, what other church gave out 400,000 pounds of food last year? Huh? What other church did that? Why, God's blessing us because we're blessing others. That's just, check your yeast, Steve. How about you focus on maybe doing more and talking less? You know, of course, it's just this service. This is just about me, just so you know. I'm the one that had to hear the check your yeast, man. So, I just shared you all the ugly I could for a reason. And this is why, because this is what I wrote. What happens is, without warning, the Holy Spirit slams the cross right on top of your object of affection. And your eyes are turned to Jesus, seeing his passion to satisfy the justice of God. and you see the guilt and the shame of your sin placed on Jesus, the sinless one, and you see him beaten to the point of being unrecognizable by man, you see the depth of the love he has for you and your own inability to believe that that kind of love is possible. You see the price being paid, you see the purchase that was made, and you turn away grateful and motivated by the sacrifice given to you, given to redeem your sinful nature. You got rid of the yeast by viewing the Passover lamb. That's not a formula. That is the truth. And that has been the truth in my life, and I'm trying to get it more and more and more, because what happens is you start having pride in the yeast that you've gotten rid of. Like it's all gone. Hello, you're breathing. Here's how Paul finished that chapter pretty much. This kind of sums it all up, and then I'll be done. Those who belong to Christ, not stand in a garage and call themselves a car, those who belong to Jesus have nailed the passions and desires. When we say passions and desires, that goes far beyond sex. That is passions and desires to hurt people, to be right all the time, to make sure that you know my opinion. That's every one of those are our evil nature. They nailed those passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let the Spirit say to you this week, check your yeast. One last scripture right here. You want to belong, right? Here's what I love about him. With all what I just talked about, this was screaming in my spirit when I finished it. Now, how weird is that? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anybody who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life. Jesus is the most awesome thing, happening, event, whatever you want to call it, that has ever happened in the history of mankind. And he stands here today, and he wants to help all of us get to that place and that point. Now, I'm going to close with this thought, and I just thought of sharing it. For those of you who don't know, you know my wife was just elected as city council. Yeah, woo-hoo. I got to show you something. It was through a long process that he could even convince her to do it. Those of you who know her know exactly what I'm saying. And in the process, it was a very ugly time in our city. And hopefully there will be healing come. But she checked her yeast through the whole process. Not a bad word came out of her mouth, not a character assassination, not a mudsling one. And last night, I stood at a house with a newly elected, five newly elected Haltom City residents, Haltom City Council people, the new mayor, and four others. And I watched as we stood there and gathered with family and parents and children and stood in a circle as my wife led prayer over this city. There's something bigger happening here. I want all of us to get to that place where the yeast is not near as important as the salt, so that we can become everything that Jesus wants us to be, which is free in our freedom in him from slavery and into the understanding that I'm free to love and serve people I never thought I could even be around. Amen? I'm done.
I'm going to stand with me. Adversity is proof of your validity. Adversity is proof of your validity. Because if there was nothing valuable, the enemy would leave you alone. So adversity is proof of your validity. It is not God allowing mean things to happen to you. It is God wanting to use things to prove his power and his faithfulness in your life. Which one will you get in agreement with? And today, I'm saying, and I want you to say with me, God, I trust you that adversity will bring you glory, and that my life will shine you. I just want you right now in this moment, in all sincerity, if you are struggling and you're just feeling, maybe you're just feeling guilty because you know you love God and he loves you, but you are struggling. Would you just keep your hand lifted right now? Guys, the honesty of that action, the honesty of that action, God is right now infiltrating those places and going into deep things that you don't even know about, but he does. Because, my friends, he does not just see you today. He sees you tomorrow, and he sees you the next day, and every provision is made for you right now because you have lifted your hand and said, I surrender and I'm open. We're going to pray for those who have lifted hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in agreement, God, that you are going to set your people free, that you, God, are going to move in and break through those places where the enemy is causing us, God, to fear and doubt. We remove that from the tool belt of God, and we say, we will trust you, we will believe in you, God, that we will see this through to the testimony that will lead others to be set free. And to save them our heartache. God, we call it back into the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our co-workers. God, wherever people today feel they failed, you will prevail. And we speak life in the name of Jesus. Just receive it right now. God, I just receive that peace. I let this guilt go that is holding this yeast in my heart. I just let it go right now. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, God. Right now in my life, thank you, God, that there is a true breakthrough in my life. Thank you, Lord. Now, I just want to ask you this. For those who are struggling with something against someone else, and you're just saying, you know what? There's really yeast here, Gay. It's not just the enemy. It's I'm guilty. I want you right now just to begin to let the Lord heal your heart, the place where you are hurt and injured, like that man on the cruise that causes us, like hurt children, to lash out instead of trust Dad. You have a father that you can go to and say, Dad, hold me today because I'm hurting. Dad, heal me today because I've been hurt. But God set me free from the poison that is meant to separate me from you and set others free. God, I set them free right now. I give this hurt to you. I give this injustice to you, Father. Lord, it's a gift to you. It's the best I have to offer you. But when we give that pain to him, it is the most beautiful gift to him because you are saying, I trust you over me, God. Lord, we thank you for this today. Set us free. Set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. You know,